I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're going to talk about different events happening in the news. There's two main stories I want to get to today. One, I want to talk about what's going on at the Pentagon. The Pentagon now has apparently defied President Trump's order that the transgenders not be permitted in the U.S. military. And apparently the Pentagon now is set to overturn that decision, which is very, very unusual considering that the president is the commander-in-chief of the United States, and he is the commander-in-chief of the U.S. military. And this is really unprecedented that the Pentagon would go against the president's decision, especially on something like this that really has nothing to do with anything other than promoting the perverted agenda of the left. I mean, that's all it is doing. And you can find this article on InfoWars, the headline, quote, "Pentagon to defy Trump and allow transgender service members." It says, quote, "The Pentagon will allow transgender individuals to enlist in the armed forces as of January 1st, 2018, according to a report by the Associated Press. This is in defiance of President Trump, who tweeted in July that after consulting with his generals, he had made the decision to restrict transgender people from serving in the U.S. military. And Trump had said, quote, "After consultation with my generals and military experts, please be advised that the United States government will not accept or allow." And then it goes on to talk about transgender people. Sexual perverts, which is what they are and what they should be called, sodomites. In fact, some people, many Christians, don't realize that sodomites are not just found in the story of Sodom and Gomorrah back in Genesis. We find them really throughout the Old Testament. They show up over and over again, and the righteous kings of Israel would turn them out, would drive them out of the land. In fact, in the days of King Josiah had the houses of the Sodomites. They had built up their houses along the temple there in Jerusalem. And in the days of King Josiah, when he was going throughout his kingdom and reforming everything and trying to bring everything in line with the commandments of God, he tore down the houses of the Sodomites, we read. And you can find this in 2 Kings chapter 23. And as you read about after King Josiah began his reforms, it says, verse 7, "And he brake down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove." And the grove, of course, is where they worshipped idols. Now, the Sodomites there, if you study the Sodomites there, they were, it is generally believed, if you read footnotes from people like John Gill and so on, it's generally thought that the Sodomites were the Galilee. They were called the Galilee. And they were basically a transgender cult. That's how we would define them today. A transgender cult. And they had a ceremony where they all of these men who were sodomites would come out and they would castrate themselves. And then they would don a feminine garment. And in donning this feminine garment, they were transformed, supposedly, into the image of their goddess. It was a whole ritual. But it's very clear that these were transgenders, effectively. I mean, transgenderism has been around for centuries. You find transgenderism in ancient Islam going back to the time of Muhammad. It is said that Muhammad protected the transgenders while he condemned homosexuals, that is, men who are going with other men, as one thing, but men who dressed up like women, for some reason, were protected by Muhammad. And they have transgenders in Islam to this day. They have them in Mecca and Medina. They've been there for 1,400 years. Many people don't know this about Islam. It's just one of the bizarre elements of Islam, but I honestly believe this has something to do with why the left has embraced Islam. Because Islam normalizes almost all forms of sexual perversion. Many people don't realize it. They have a false impression. They think that they, you know, the Muslims, because they make the women wear the garments from head to toe and whatever, that they're practicing this kind of purity or whatever. All of that is nonsense. It's just nonsense. They have pedophilia, the molestation of girls, the molestation of young boys. They have transgenderism. In some strange cases, there are elements of homosexuality that are justified. In some strange cases that I've read, it's a very bizarre, just very, very bizarre Islam, historically. Now, the next question is, why is the Pentagon openly defying President Trump? Why are they defying President Trump? That's another aspect of this whole thing, this whole other element going on here. And I believe the answer is 8 years of Obama. 8 years of Obama, and you have all of these appointees. And we did radio shows on this while Obama was still in office, that he flooded the executive branch with hundreds of homosexuals and transgenders during his 8 years in office. He thoroughly advanced the whole LGBT agenda. The Supreme Court ruling on gay marriage was just one element of it. But he flooded, I mean, the deep state is full of sodomites. Full of sodomites. Which follows, brethren, with history. Because you think about the Inquisition. When the Inquisition was at work in England, King Henry VIII drove out the Inquisitors through the Buggery Act of 1533. And then when Bloody Mary came in and she became queen, she overturned the Buggery Act because she wanted to bring back the Inquisition. Okay? Sodomites were in charge of Nazi Germany. They were the inner core of Nazi Germany, radical homosexuals. And today, this element continues to be an issue. When you have sexual perverts in charge of government, you're going to end up with a very sadistic, bent, twisted, evil government that will just increase in their lawlessness and their wickedness because they have a completely perverted worldview. And that's what leads to Inquisition, Holocaust, genocide, all of these atrocities. And certainly sodomites are not the only ones guilty. They're not the only ones guilty. But when you have sodomites, I mean, you have to think, like sexual perverts like Jeffrey Dahmer or Ted Bundy and others that we could name. What do? They end up victimizing people in these very brutal, vicious, evil ways, often being driven by their sexual lust, their perverted lusts. And this is what drives a lot of this. I mean, it's what drives a lot of the perversity of Islam. Martin Luther wrote about this. He said it's even a shame to mention the things that they're doing. That's why he advised Christians to fight the Turk to the death. To under no circumstances, Luther said, should Christians surrender to the Turk, Muslims. Don't surrender. Fight them to the death. All right, now back on this Pentagon story here. It's being reported by a number of different websites and news organizations. CBS News, Business Insider, is reporting the same thing. The Washington Post, although the Washington Post is saying judge rules, transgender people can enlist in military, denying Trump, etc. So the Free Beacon is saying that the AP got the story wrong. The Free Beacon says, AP tweet falsely implies Pentagon defied Trump's orders on transgender ban. Then they go on to, here's what it says. It says, quote, but the AP's tweet failed to disclose that the Pentagon didn't decide to allow transgender individuals in the military. The announcement was instead a result of a court order blocking Trump's ban. Then it says U.S. District Judge Colleen Coterly issued an injunction in late October, arguing that there was, quote, no support for the claim that the ongoing service of transgender people would have any negative effect on the military at all. And then it goes on from there. Now, it is, to me, it's just absurd that these judges have any authority like this at all to interfere with decisions being made by the Commander-in-Chief of the United States. It's utterly absurd. And I've never seen this happen in my life with any president, that the president's making decisions about the military and you got some district judge somewhere that comes in and overrules his decision. It's ridiculous. A same thing on Trump's ban as the president, ban on having Muslims coming in from certain countries. The Muslim ban, as it's called. There have been a number of interviews with Dr. Alan Dershowitz, who is a very famous liberal lawyer. And it's interesting that Dershowitz, even though he's a liberal, he admits that the courts have absolutely no authority to oppose the president on this issue of an immigration ban, that the president has the authority based on any criteria that he sees fit to ban individuals from coming into the country. That's under his authority. And they don't have the right or the authority or the power to oppose it. These courts, I'm telling you, brethren, judicial activism is perhaps the number one enemy of our Constitution right now. All of these subversive elements, in fact, I talk about this in one of our new audio CDs on Lincoln and the 14th Amendment, and talk about some of the history of Lincoln, but then also the history of the 14th Amendment and how it has been used over and over and over again for all of these subversive activist rulings. We've had one after another, whether it's Roe v. Wade, whether it's the gay marriage ruling, whether it's rulings on illegal immigration, it's one thing after another. If they eventually bring in something, for example, like Sharia law in our country, you can bet it will happen as a result of judicial activism. And God forbid that it should ever happen in our country. But judicial activism is the number one enemy of the Constitution. Now, what the full story is here is the Pentagon siding with this judge. Is the Pentagon really behind this, or is it more the judge than the Pentagon? This remains to be seen. But many people, in fact, are reporting that the Pentagon is defying Trump. Others argue that it's based on this judge's order. It could be a combination of both. That's what it appears to be. All right, let's go to our commercial break. When we come back, what we are going to talk about, we're going to talk about Turkey and Erdogan, the leader of Turkey. Is it possible that events, now that President Trump has decided to move the American embassy to Jerusalem, could this be setting the stage for the Gog and Magog invasion? We'll talk more about that when we come back right after this.
A Dullum Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon, part 3 in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today, the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America. Our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I've been a customer of Mountain House through one of their distributors. But now, Worldview Weekend, as of October 25th, 2016, has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. Now look, the key word here is balance. We don't put our hope in horses and chariots. We don't put our security in food and gold and silver. But it is important to be diversified and to be prepared. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. I think people ought to have a little bit put aside, as I've done since April of 2013, in case of an emergency. You get free shipping and handling, and you're supporting the general operating budget of Worldview Weekend. Just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. We are going to talk about Erdogan, Turkey's President Erdogan. Here is an article on Jihad Watch. It says, quote, Turkey's Erdogan issues veiled threat of Jewish genocide, refers to statement of Mohammed about Muslims killing Jews. Okay. And then here's a tweet that they post that says Turkish President Erdogan issues a veiled threat of killing each and every Jew with a shocking reference to apocalyptic prophecy of tree story. And then you find, I've heard this tree story before. I remember this years ago when I was working on a documentary called The New Barbarians. But here, let me read it. And it said, this is the fullest version of the Hadith, which appears many times in shorter forms in the two Hadith collections that Muslims consider most reliable. And here is the quote. This is the quote about how in the day of the apocalypse that Jews will be hiding behind trees and this kind of thing, and the trees are going to cry out and tell the Muslims to go kill the Jews. And so it says this, quote, Abu Huraira reported Allah's messenger, may peace be upon him, as saying, the last hour would not come unless the Muslims will fight against the Jews and the Muslims would kill them until the Jews would hide themselves behind a stone or a tree, and a stone or a tree would say, Muslim, or the servant of Allah, there is a Jew behind me. Come and kill him. But the tree Garquad would not say, for it is the tree of the Jews. So apparently there is a certain kind of tree that will not expose the Jews because it is the tree of the Jews, according to this reading from the Hadith. And then Jihad Watch says, is Erdogan saying that it is now time for the Muslims to start killing Jews, or rather to step up their ongoing efforts to kill Jews so as to bring about the last hour? Now, many people have been predicting that there is going to be some kind of uprising by the Muslims because of President Trump's decision to move the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem. And of course, many Jews are celebrating this choice, acknowledging Jerusalem as the capital of the state of Israel, which, of course, I think is great. I think it advances Bible prophecy. Ultimately, we know that there is a siege against Jerusalem and Judah, according to Scripture, according to Zechariah, and that ultimately all nations are gathered against Jerusalem and Judah at Armageddon. But the question is, and the question has been, is Armageddon the same as the Gog and Magog invasion, or are they two separate events? That is an interesting question. Now, I honestly don't know, brethren. I've kind of gone back and forth on it as I think about it. But what I have thought for some time is that Gog and Magog is represented by Turkey. I don't believe that Gog and Magog represents Russia. I don't believe that. There was a time perhaps when I did. But the reason that I don't believe it, well, if we go through Ezekiel 38 and 39, I'm going to go over some of these readings from the Geneva Bible. And this is from the 1599 edition of the Geneva Bible, mainly because I want to talk about some of the footnotes here. And where it says in Ezekiel 38, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog and against the land of Magog." Now, interesting, I just noticed this here in the Geneva Bible. It's instead of son of man, it's son of men, M-E-N. Son of men. Interesting. That's your Geneva Bible. Son of men, set thy face against Gog and against the land of Magog. Now, the footnote here for verse 2, the Reformer's footnote says, quote, "Gog and Magog, which was a people that came of Magog, the son of Japheth," Genesis 10:2. Magog also here signifieth a certain country, so that by these two countries, which had the government of Greece and Italy, he meaneth the principal enemies of the church, Revelation 20 and verse 8. That is the Reformer's footnote. One of them, anyway. Now, there's no question that the Reformed view of these verses is that really this is ultimately an attack on the church, on believers in Christ, that that's what these have to do with primarily. And of course, I find it very interesting that Islam has this Saturday-Sunday law that they have in Islam, which is that they kill the Jews on Saturday and then they kill the Christians on Sunday. But there's no question that both Marxism, your socialist Marxist movement combined with Islam, is very anti-Israel and is very anti-Christ. I find it very, very interesting. How all of this is going to play out, brethren, remains to be seen. But one thing I wanted to point out, when it talks about, it says, we'll go to verse 3, where it says, "And say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I come against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and I will destroy thee and put hooks in thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth and all thine host, both horses and horsemen, all clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great multitude with bucklers and shields, all handling swords. They of Paras, P-A-R-A-S, of Cush, as in the Cushites, and Put, P-U-T, with them, even all they that bear shield and helmet, Gomer and all his bands, and the house of Togarmah of the north quarters, and all his bands, and much people with thee." And then if you go to verse 15, it talks about those that, where it says, "And come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and much people with thee," and so on. So the armies from the north. But let's read the footnotes for who this band, this great multitude is. Here in verses 5 and 6, it says, quote, "The Persians, Ethiopians, and men of Africa. Gomer was Japheth's son, and Togarma, the son of Gomer, and are thought to be they that inhabit Asia Minor. They that inhabit Asia Minor. Asia Minor is modern-day Turkey. Modern-day Turkey is Asia Minor. And that's why, to me, what's going on with Erdogan, and he's made statements in the past about unifying the Muslims, the Muslim world, the one world Ummah, the Muslim Brotherhood around the world, and going after Jerusalem. And Erdogan has already said on this issue of Jerusalem and Trump moving, President Trump moving the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem, he says at one point, one of his quotes is that Jerusalem is our red line. It's, you know, we draw the line at Jerusalem. And he's been making all of these speeches and this kind of thing, which is why I think there is quite possibly great significance to what's happening. And exactly how it's all going to fit together, brethren, I don't know, but it's very, very interesting to watch these pieces of the puzzle come together. I mean, if you go and research Erdogan and Turkey on these issues, you've got headlines like Erdogan warns Trump, Jerusalem is Muslim's red line. Israel, Turkey invoke Ottoman Empire in spat over Jerusalem. Now, Turkey is the remnant. It is what is left of the Ottoman Turkish Empire. In fact, there's an article from the Jerusalem Post. The headline says, Israel to Erdogan after Jerusalem tirade, days of Ottoman Empire are over. And then you have a headline here that says, Turkey wants Muslims to invade Jerusalem. In fact, there's a series of headlines like that from earlier in the year, because this is something that Erdogan seems to have mentioned over and over and over again. And who knows, brethren, but we're going to keep an eye on these events. We're also going to lift our eyes to heaven and consider that our redemption draweth nigh. Praise the Lord. All right, brethren, that is going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.